Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Stories. Storytelling. Throughout the ages of time, stories have captured our attention. We have found ourselves and find ourselves listening, relating, and connecting to the story as well as to the person of the story. Having thoughts of, I'm not alone. You are not alone. We are in this thing called life together. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Deb Lind and welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Every week we bring amazing guests, whether they're subject matter experts, inspiring souls, forward thinkers, or perhaps even wounded healers. In June is PTSD Awareness Month. And here at PTSD and Beyond, we've been working on something pretty special for you. Something that you can listen to each and every day. Each day in the month of June, we'll be sharing the unique story of someone with lived experience with trauma and PTSD. We'll learn a little bit about their journey, how they're progressing through a healing journey, as well as hear their post-traumatic growth and how they've found meaning, purpose, and a superpower in the process of healing. We got to let you guys know that we are extremely grateful for all the folks that have shown tremendous courage to come on the podcast and share their stories and inspire everyone to listen to this podcast around the globe. We've had folks from England, Canada, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Australia, the United States, and beyond. We felt that there was no better way to honor PTSD Awareness Month and to share the stories of our brothers and sisters from around the world and acknowledging their trauma, their challenges with PTSD, but also to teach us and to inspire us, allowing us a glimpse of their healing journey. We here at PTSD and Beyond hope that these stories will touch your heart and touch your soul and offer you inspiration and compassion for others suffering from PTSD, from folks that are affected by PTSD, as well as yourself. These are the powerful lived experience stories of real people. They are the champions who keep striving, who keep healing, who keep growing, and who keep living. We hope that you enjoy the PTSD and Beyond 30 Stories in 30 Days, honoring PTSD Awareness Month. Remember to please share these episodes with folks that you feel and you know will benefit. Remember to subscribe, like, and share. So let's give a listen to today's guests. 30 Stories in 30 Days starts now. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. And today we have another Share Your Story segment. There's such a power of sharing stories. And we know for centuries that that's way the legacy of an individual lives on. And the cool thing about when we do these Share Your Story segments is the people that we talk with, we're able to connect with them and we feel like we're literally having a conversation with them. While we're virtual, we still have that connection. And today, I want to welcome our guest. And a real quick plug on our guest today. She's an award-winning photographer. And let's welcome Carrie Kirkella to PTSD and Beyond. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
I'm excited to have you on because when we were talking just a minute ago, you were also sharing about, you know, doing this, you know, has meaning for you. And again, people can connect and they're going to relate. And it also gives us a sense of validation that people are hearing us and they're listening and they're mindfully connecting with our story. We know that, again, stories touch people more than just our mind. They actually touch us in our hearts. So if you can share with people
a bit about your story. Tell us something about that.
Okay. Well, so I just want to preface it a little bit by saying that when I was a kid, I was super confident and I knew that I either wanted to be a photographer or some kind of psychologist or social worker, that kind of thing. And there's definitely an interesting mix of those now happening. But so when I grew up in the suburbs of New York City, and I ended up winning a full scholarship to Pratt Institute to study art and photography. And so I moved to Brooklyn and I had, you know, no indication of mental health issues or, you know, any kind of real serious issues when I was in my early 20s and that kind of thing. And then I graduated and I got a job at the Wall Street Journal. I was an assistant photo editor for the Wall Street Journal's weekend section. And it was down by it was in the World Financial Center, which was across from the World Trade Center. And at the time, and this was back in 2000. So I was really unhappy in that corporate role. And I just decided I needed to quit. I had this strange, I had this premonition that the towers somehow were going to come down, which I don't know. I just remember it clearly being really terrified of being in that area. It's very strange. I don't know what to make of it, but then that happened. And I ended up quitting to pursue freelance photography. And about 2 months later, 9/11, you know, 2001 happened, the attacks on the Twin Towers. And it was really kind of the first pivotal hard time in my life where I felt like, you know, depression really took over. I had so much anxiety. And I was starting out, you know, with no real savings, no real business guidance, that kind of thing. And about 4 years later, I ended up having my first major manic episode. And I was hospitalized and diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And there's two versions of that. There's bipolar one and bipolar two. And over the past 16 years, I've been hospitalized 3 times for manic episodes that are just really intense, where basically for me, it's triggered by a real lack of sleep and then a lot of stress at once. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the first time it happened, it was a culmination of events and just kind of gradually, you know, I was just very stressed out and depressed. And the second time it happened, unfortunately, my sister passed away from breast cancer suddenly after 4 months of being diagnosed. We really didn't expect her to pass away.
Sorry to hear that.
And she was only 40 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And she had a daughter who's now 17, but at the time was just about to be 10. And a month before she passed, a month after she passed was my wedding. I had to continue to go through with my wedding because I had all this in place and I would have lost thousands of dollars if we hadn't done it. A week or so during my wedding, I knew it was kind of happening again. I could feel it happening again. And I ended up being hospitalized for that as well. And then just to kind of, you know, sum up, and then the third time in 2018, fast forward a little bit, I was pregnant with my son. I also had a couple of miscarriages before I had him. So it's been like a whole journey of a lot of loss and pain and struggle. But in 2018, I had my son, who thank God is healthy. And I should say too, before that, I had a prominent maternal mental health care provider suggest that I not have kids, which it was something that took about 2 years for me to say, you know what, she doesn't actually know me. And, you know, she doesn't actually know the kind of mother who I can be, who I know I can be. And so I started trying to have my child and ended up having missed miscarriages twice, where you have to, you see the heartbeat and then you have to have the fetuses. I had to actually have them both surgically removed. They didn't, you know, kind of dispel on their own. And then when I had my son, I had 26 hours of labor. It was very just no sleep basically. And then I had to share a recovery room because New York City is very crowded. And I had my son at NYU hospital where, you know, they kind of just make it, they don't make it easy. I mean, nobody makes it easy really for mental health and, you know, physical care, kind of medical, you know, care to kind of come together. It's challenging. Mm-hmm. And I really tried for, you know, my entire pregnancy to get help to really figure out how to prevent postpartum psychosis, which I knew I was prone to because I had already had two hospitalizations prior. And there was very little resources, very little help. I mean, I even went out and tried to find a doula to work with, you know, just to have like another advocate on my side. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, do you know anyone else? You know, have you worked with anyone else who's had bipolar disorder and kind of made it to the other side of having a child? And she reached out to them and none of them would talk to me.
Wow.
And I don't know why. It might be that it was too painful, you know, an experience to talk with me, or it might be that there's just the stigma is so, so intense that people don't even want anyone to know. But I knew then and there that I told her, even before I knew what was going to happen with me, I said, if anyone ever comes to you and says the same thing, please send them to me. I have no idea what's going to happen to me, but just please, you know, yeah, send them away. And so that was really tough because, you know, that was on a different level where I had to be hospitalized away from my son for a week right after he was born, basically.
Oh, wow.
After he was born. So
very difficult.
Yeah. And I was really advocating while I was in the hospital. I mean, they were supposed to come and check on me within 24 hours, you know, have the on-call psychiatrist check on me. And they didn't do that. And then I finally could tell that I was having trouble going to sleep when I actually had a minute to sleep. And that's when I knew that it was starting. And once you've had a couple of these major manic episodes, they can, unfortunately, you're more prone to them and they can happen very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they can really escalate. And then you can have, you know, hallucinations, auditory, you know, visual. And I really went through that while I was at the mental health facility after I had him. And then when I returned home, and I was also really hell bent on breastfeeding because it's like kind of drilled into you to do that these mm-hmm. days. Like it's really, and I'm actually still breastfeeding my son when he's 3 years old because I can't seem to figure out how to wean him. But I feel like it's also a really big accomplishment because, you know, it was kind of like, am I even going to be able to? I probably can't. It was really hard. But I made it my mission when I was at the mental health facility that was what I was going to do. I was going to drink a gallon of water a day and, you know, use the hospital grade pump.
Oh, and, there you go. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make it easy. I mean, I was really, you know, I wasn't really supposed to be alone in a room with this apparatus because you could take it apart and strangle somebody or yourself with it. There was a lot of like things that it was scary. I mean, it really was. The whole experience was really hard. But I also knew even while I was there that I really wanted to go back and try to help people eventually.
How else has mental health and mental health challenges affected your life?
I would say the biggest effect that it's had on me is on my self-esteem. I mean, it's taken me probably 20 years to get back to where I was, where I was more, you know, of course, there's always more to do with building confidence and self-esteem. But now I feel like, you know, incredibly different. I think that becoming a mother was also really a catalyst in that, because I, you know, there's just, you have to kind of rise up if you know, you can, I mean, to rise up to the challenge of that. And it's, that can help, but it's also really hard. So, but yeah, I think the biggest challenge was really around my self-esteem, and that slowed down my work progress, you know, everything kind of, I've had to recover each time. And sometimes it would take, the first time after I was hospitalized, it took about a year to recover, really. Wow. And the second time, after my sister passed, the way that I was able to kind of come out of that depression afterwards, because it's really, that's what happens after, for me anyway. I started a photo project, a personal photography project about breast cancer survivors. So I photograph breast cancer survivors with their sisters as a way to contribute to my sister. And I've been doing that since 2016. So, and I've been photographing these really amazing behind the scenes portraits of these women who have walked in fashion shows for this company called Anna Ono Intimates. She was one of the sisters, the founder of that company is one of the sisters I photographed for Sisters and Survivors. And then she started having fashion shows, in 2017 to help raise money for stage 4 breast cancer, which is really what doesn't get it gets the least amount of funding. Only up to 7% of the money that's raised for breast cancer research goes to breast, you know, stage 4, which is what kills people. So that's really what I kind of just used it as a catalyst, you know, to kind of help me process my grief and also, you know, put my pain to purpose, I guess you'd say.
How else have you grown?
So I, you know, kind of bringing back, I when I started realizing, you know, that I needed to use my photography more as a way to heal myself, I started photographing nature more as just a kind of like a walking meditation. I actually live in Brooklyn, so I can't really do that very often, but I make sure that I would, you know, if I were able to get away for a weekend or that kind of thing, I always photograph nature. And I started, I call it feng shui photo, because I kind of purposely look for things that themes around feng shui art cure concepts. So like grounding and water flowing and different ideas about that. And I also, you know, realized that through photographing the breast cancer survivors, a lot of the women tell me that it's helped them with their just kind of body image and, you know, things around that. And things have sort of come together where I'm now working on creating workshops and programs about how to use photography, you know, how others can use photography as a way, as a self-development tool. Mm-hmm. And also for mindfulness, because I think that's what I've been doing all along, you know? And I realized that that's, you know, kind of, you know, what my real purpose is to do, to help others use this accessible tool to help, you know, learn these different skills, which are, they're based on the 5 pillars of emotional resilience. That's kind of what the photo prompts are about.
What about your superpower? So we grow, and then we have continuous growth. And then there's something that we become aware of that we'll say to ourselves, you know what, that's a superpower. So what's your superpower?
I think I have two. I think one is resilience. I think resilience is my superpower for one, you know, really predominantly, because I know that, first of all, I know that I can go crazy and come back. And I've done it a few times. And also just with miscarriages and my sister and all these different things that I've been through in my life, other things. But so yeah, resilience. And then other than that, it's also, I feel like I'm working toward becoming a peaceful mental health warrior.
Love that. A peaceful mental health warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit offline about, you know, there is somebody right now that's listening in our PTSD and beyond community. And it's global, which is so beautiful. So right now, there's someone right now that's listening to you that is saying, that sounds a lot like me. Another person listening could say something like, I feel like you're talking directly to me. So if you were to say something to that person that's listening, that feels that connection, what would you say to that person right now?
I would say to them that just believe and just know that no one is better than anyone else. Everyone, you know, is going through their own challenges. Everyone has their own different journeys. But the sooner you can really know and believe in your heart that no one is better than anyone else, the more free you are. And that's really what I think self-worth is about. And if, you know, this kind of, the sooner you can kind of build on that, the happier you can be.
I love that. The sooner you can build on that, the happier that you can be. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story and your wisdom and your insights. And I want everybody to know that in the bio summary, we're going to have Carrie's information on her photography, as well as some of the workshops that she's putting in. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Remember that we've got another share your story segment coming tomorrow. So go ahead and subscribe. And as soon as that episode comes out, then you'll get a notification that it's ready for you to listen to. All right, you guys, make it a good one, eh?
We hope you enjoyed today's guest and their story on 30 stories in 30 days on the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button, as well as to like and share and comment, and make a note, because guys, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, we've got another story on 30 stories in 30 days at PTSD and Beyond.